Wisconsin just sent a message to the Big Ten. Badger basketball just took down 15th-ranked Purdue, making a major late-season statement. And suddenly, March is getting interesting. And on the football side, Luke Fickell just landed in-state recruit Isaac Miller. So here's the question. Are the Badgers surging toward March? And did Luke Fickell just turn an in-state recruiting corner? We'll answer both of those. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome into the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, we're breaking down Wisconsin's huge win over the Purdue Boilermakers and why it might be the clearest sign yet that the Badgers are starting to peak at exactly the right time. The Big Ten regular season is now in the books, and the focus shifts to the postseason, the Big Ten tournament, and the NCAA tournament. We'll touch on current rankings and give you the most up-to-date information in our bracketology segment. And we'll shift over to football because Luke Fickell just landed in-state recruit Isaac Miller, and it raises a really interesting question about whether Wisconsin might be turning a corner in in-state recruiting. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Appreciate all the support of the show. Justin, how was Mexico, man? You're back. And I did the show by myself last week. Let me tell you something. It's hard to talk for an hour and then like not have breaks where I can grab my tea or whatever, because like you weren't here to do that.
You're like, Justin consistently talks over the top of me and gives me opportunities to have a break.
Like I needed a break, man. But he's back, so that's good. Back together. A couple quick updates. Wanted to get updates of everybody on some things. So next week, of course, Selection Sunday. One of my favorite days of the year. I just love Selection Sunday. And as we have done in the past, we will be doing the live Selection Sunday special. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Central Time, just our standard show for the day. We're going to have some special guests. Hopefully Ryan's going to join us. Hopefully Nick Osen's going to join us. A couple other teams hosts as well. Maybe our good friend Sonny from the Illini, maybe some Ohio State guys. So we might just have people pop in for a few minutes here and there just to give us their predictions, talk mainly about the Big Ten, how the Big Ten got seeded and everything like that. And of course, we will spend plenty of time talking about the Badgers. So check us out next Sunday. That's our regular show next Sunday, 8 p.m. Central Time. That's 6 p.m. Pacific for those of you who live on the West Coast with me, which is great. I did a Rajiv's Corner episode this week. Talked about the Big Ten's 24-team playoff layout that they have come out with. They're kind of all what that looks like. I think it's pretty great. Go check that out. It'll be another one coming this week as well. Wanted to start with this comment, by the way. R. Smith, love it. I'm from Lafayette. Hell yeah. He's, I live in Lafayette and went to the game. Such a great hard-fought win. Shout out to Nick, who I was finally able to meet. Great guy who does great work covering all things Badgers. Of course, that's our good friend Nick Osen, who does great work over at 247. Justin, how was Mexico, first of all? Did you love it? And also, how you doing? How you feeling after yesterday's great win?
So here was my perspective that I told my parents when we were leaving there. I was there with my son and my parents. I really enjoyed it, but I can see in some ways how visiting a place in the United States is just simpler from the perspective of there's a certain level of comfort of just knowing, like, we're all talking the same language. There's no, you know, difference in type of money or anything like that. And you look at it and you're like, in some ways this is just simpler. Like, there's less headache involved. Weather was gorgeous. It's very mild there in Cabo. So it got to like, you know, low to mid 80s, but it never felt particularly like daunting heat wise. But I had a good, really good time.
Were you at an all-inclusive resort?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the thing about those all-inclusive resorts. That makes me want to go to Key Mexico because, dude, you eat when you want, you drink when you want, you eat what you want, you drink what you want. And that's pretty awesome. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to complain about that. I love all-inclusive resorts. Like, hell yeah. And they're not even that expensive, by the way.
No, they're actually a better deal normally than just paying out of pocket.
Yeah, it's crazy. Bottom line is up if you're watching on YouTube. That's what we're going to cover today. We're going to, of course, talk about Purdue and Maryland wins. We are going to talk about Nolan Winter's injury, of course, and do a kind of Big Ten season wrap, go over bracketology, and then some football stuff at the end. Listen, I'm buzzing still from that win yesterday. Awesome victory. I mean, how many teams in the country can say that they have, and I'll tell you the answer, it's zero, that can say they have three wins against the net top 10, all on the road, Michigan, Illinois, and Purdue. That's unbelievable. I mean, I don't care what planet you live on. I don't care how you like, but you like Greg Gard or you don't like Greg Gard. If you like basketball or you don't like basketball, that is bloody impressive to be able to get those wins. Just a great victory all around. We were both on the reaction show. We did the reaction show on Locked On Badgers. But if you missed that, what are some of your initial thoughts? What are your overall thoughts on that Purdue win yesterday? Just awesome.
Well, I mean, about the team in general, they clearly have a knack for stepping up their game in big, in a big matchup. What I will say is hopefully going into the NCAA tournament, they have that level of urgency with everyone that they play, because you don't want to lose in the first round because you don't come into it taking a team as seriously as you should. Otherwise, you end up having an Oregon game. But I thought the front court played incredibly. I would have liked them to, other than asking for them to rebound a little bit better, there's really nothing more I could have asked for those guys. I thought Nick Boyd played incredibly down the stretch. Like that's why you go get a guy like that, that has the ability to take people off the dribble, because you need somebody in these late game opportunities so that you're not settling for contested three-pointers to try and win a game like this. You're getting a guy who can just get downhill and get to the rim and either draw a foul or get the ability to finish.
Yeah, man. Like, you're right. You're at the front court. Gosh, and we didn't have Nolan Winter, which we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but that's a massive step forward for guys like Biliauskas and Rapp, who've just been playing so well. Like, and listen, we're going to talk about it, but I'm just going to say it right now. Greg Gard deserves a lot of credit. He deserves a lot of credit. You take last night, Chip Bird, our good friend Chip Bird, sent me a text yesterday or last this morning, something. And he was talking about how, like, with Nolan Winter out last night, again, in that Purdue game, the only player on the team from last year was John Blackwell that played on the floor. That's a pretty impressive scenario to take a team that won at Purdue last year, put only John Blackwell out there, refill everyone else around him, and win at Purdue again. When those guys have three of their best seniors they have ever had, they're the first group that ever took them to a Final Four, in Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer and Trey Kaufman-Wren, like, I mean, that is an incredible achievement. And I don't think we can undersell that, honestly. And that's one of the things that I'm going to look back at this win. I know we're going to talk about the tournament, but as of right now, this has been a successful season, man. 14-6 in conference, and to have those wins, by the way, took care of business against Maryland too. Just, I'm so happy. But I want to talk about John Blackwell specifically, because I gave him a lot of shit, and I just feel like he's earned all the respect back again. And listen, he's always been a great player. And as I said, and I said this on the show last week, he needs to be good in order for us to make any kind of run in the NCAA tournament. Well, he did that yesterday. He had a great game. He was aggressive. He shot the ball well. He put the team on his back at times. And all he did was just say, you know what? I'm a guy. I'm going to get this done. Played well against Maryland, played even better against Purdue. So, yeah, I know he has those dips, and I still stand by the fact that if he's going to have those dips, he doesn't need to be out there for as many minutes. Not saying he shouldn't start. He should be the guy. He needs to be the guy. And if that's the John Blackwell we get in the tournament, we are going to make some serious headwinds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I won't disagree with that. I mean, excuse me. I don't think we've ever looked at Blackwell when he's playing well and said, this guy leaves you wanting as a player. The issues have always come from what can we expect from you on a consistent basis for us to be able to know. And it's in a game where potentially we need him to be the guy to step up.
Yeah.
Because maybe Boyd isn't shooting well. Because Blackwell, realistically, out of those two players, is the more efficient player typically from a shooting standpoint.
He makes more threes.
I think he's a better – well – Boyd is clearly better at getting to the rim and being in from the interior. The shot selection with Boyd, which has gotten better as the season goes along, I feel like has been one of the reasons why I say that. Because early in the season, there were some shots where he took where it's like, this isn't a great shot. You're kind of wasting a possession. And Blackwell, with our history with him, for the most part, got you pretty good looks. I think that's gotten different with Boyd as the season's gone on. He's gotten far better at going to the rim and finishing, and finishing on some really hard shots. But what we need from him is, because of the fact that you have two guys, you really only have two guys that you feel like you can truly rely on to set a standard in a particular game.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is Boyd, and that to me is clearly Blackwell, where you say, if this guy gets this 15 this game, we feel pretty good about our chances. Everyone else is kind of a wild card in terms of what we can expect. We know two guys will probably step up. We just have no clue who they're going to be.
And, you know, like, that's the thing. As the season progresses, some of those guys have stepped up. And the fact that it can be a different guy every night, like Bilioskis can have a game where he splashes five threes. He was 4 or 5 yesterday. Austin Rapp just does what he's going to do. Hayden Jones played well in a loss against Ohio State, but he kind of showed out and played well. And then, you know, you've always got different guys that are just that are going to go out there and play well. Look, I mean, obviously 32 points for Braden Carrington this week. I mean, like, geez, he can go nuclear when he wants to as well. So, yeah, like, I think that there's a lot of talent on this team. And then you throw in the Nolan Winter, which we're going to talk about. So, like, it's just at some point you got to realize that this team is peaking at the right time. And Greg Gard said it in his press conference after the game. He actually said, I don't think we're peaked. We haven't peaked yet. And this team is getting better, but it really is. They're gelling together to have no real fear going on the road. Not fear for us, but for them. They played with no fear. Michigan, Illinois, Purdue. Don't know what happened in Oregon. That we're going to talk about that in a little bit. That was crappy, and how that affects it. But yeah, like they're getting better.
So what I'll say here, Badger Bournemouth fan, you can count on Winter. We can count on Winter to have good games. I can't count on Winter to go out and get me 20 right now. And that's the difference. A good game from him could be 12 points and 10 boards. And that to me is the difference between him and Boyd and Blackwell, where if those two are having a big game, it's typically they're in the 20 point range. And I don't think that Winter is a guy who you necessarily evaluate in the same way when it comes to how good did he play in this game.
Well, let's talk about Nolan Winter. We lost him in the middle of the Maryland game. So I wasn't watching the game live. I was actually went to dinner, one of my final sort of date nights with my wife before we have our second child. And so I'm getting these. I'm literally sitting at this fancy restaurant on the Strip. My phone's in my pocket, just buzzing like crazy because Ryan and Justin, obviously we have a group text that gets used daily, are just blowing my phone up, being like, it looks bad, it's horrible, oh my God, I think he's done, it's over. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on? And I finally like go down, I'm like, who got hurt? And they told me it was Nolan Winter. I did obviously watch the coverage at home. Man, it did look bad, but I will say a couple things. First of all, it was an ankle that he hadn't rolled before, which as someone who's had a ton of ankle injuries in their life, that matters, because it wasn't the one that was recently done. And often it is normal as for an ankle injury for you to stand up and not be able to put weight on it. I'm not saying that's good, but it's also doesn't necessarily mean that it's over. He was in good spirits. It sounds like he's day to day, Justin. And I feel like he should be okay for the NCAA tournament. I don't want to see him at all in the Big Ten tournament. Just leave that guy at home, elevate that foot, and do nothing else, because we don't need him then. We need him come March Madness. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be okay, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to what do you hope to accomplish in the Big Ten tournament?
Nothing.
Does this team need confidence? Does this team, you know, need to get themselves in order? And I don't think that that's the case. So I'm kind of okay with this team just punting on it and being like, we're playing good basketball. Go out there and play your game. If you win, fine. If you lose, it's kind of meaningless. I don't think that it's going to change much in terms of whether you and I have talked before on this. We brought it up on Ryan's show. I don't care about a 5 or 6 seed. Like, it really, to me, it's the difference, the variance between those two things is so minimal that I look at it and I'm like, they're almost a horse apiece. Which one ends up putting you in a better situation heading into the tournament is probably the better way to go than worrying about, am I going to get the 5 or the 6? Because if you're a 6, you get what, the 2 seed eventually?
Three.
Three. three. Okay, but you eventually lead down to the two.
To the two, correct, correct.
Versus having to, if you're the five, you potentially end up leading up to the one in order to get to, if you're getting an Elite Eight game. I would far more rather work the three and the two, especially in what we've seen this season from teams, than have to go against a one. Not that we can't beat a one, but I think that I like our chances of playing to the level of a two or three far more than a one.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you on that. I hear you on that. Well, Dryan says, great job on the reaction show, boys. Appreciate you both. Thank you, man. We did. It was nice. It was nice doing that. It was weird, though, because, man, you know, Ryan's got a lot of ad reads on his show. Holy cow. And I prepared for them, right? I do all my stuff. I print out everything. I'm ready to go. And I've got this stack of papers. And kudos to Ryan, because Ryan does great work, and he does a lot. But I had four ad reads yesterday, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I don't have to do this, because I don't know how he does that. It's a lot. All right. So let's, I do want to kind of quickly touch on the season. That's kind of, we get into the meat of the show here, is 14-6 in conference, man. Like I should have gone back and looked at our prediction show that we did. Cause I feel like I was at 13-7 and in the top five. And I think you might've been at 14-6 also in the top five. I think you actually hit it on the head, which we will go back and check that out. But top five in this conference, Justin, is nothing to slouch at. And we actually outperformed Purdue. We beat Purdue on their home floor, and we surpassed them in the Big Ten standings. Obviously, in a normal year, look, Michigan had one Big Ten loss. It was us. Otherwise, they were undefeated. In a normal year, six losses doesn't win you the conference ever, but it does get you in the discussion. Like, had it been a typical year, four wins generally wins the conference, maybe three. We would have been in that discussion had Michigan not gone run away with it. Obviously, there were teams that were better than us, for sure, but we also beat all of them. We beat all the teams that are ranked above us. Actually, no, not Nebraska. Nebraska, we did not beat. But if we played Nebraska now, I think we'd get it done. But man, like, I'm a big believer in the Big Ten season. I'm a big believer in, like, how that lays out. I'm super impressed with a 14-6 record. To be honest, in November, December, did not expect that. I don't think any of us expected.
I don't think anybody.
We're talking about the bubble, but you got to look back at this and be like, man, really, really good wrapping up the whole season.
Yeah, I think the team, I mean, we talked about it. This team kind of took its lumps early in the season and kind of came together and gelled. I think in a way it was probably good that the team was kind of all over the place early, because it forced some guys to have to step up and grow. Because you had some holes that needed to be filled, and clearly we made some decent headway. I feel like we're in a really good spot. I think if you get outside of the top 10, Wisconsin's probably one of the first three teams that gets named of who I don't want to play after the first weekend, which is, there's going to be a lot of teams that are like, I don't want to have to worry about them just going off offensively, because Wisconsin is actually a really difficult team to control. When you have a guy like Boyd, who's so quick, because if he can get downhill on you and push the ball, it's really hard to get back and get your defense set. And Wisconsin has enough size that unless you're a really good front court team, they can rebound well enough to cause some problems for you. And there's obviously just shooters all over the place. Now, that's one thing that we can kind of talk about since the beginning of the season. We talked about it early in the year. They really weren't shooting that well. I think as a team, do you know what our team three-point rate percentages now? It has to have gone up to like 36 or something like that.
Our three-point percentage is now 35.7%.
Okay, so rounding up.
36. Well done. Well done.
So, yeah. We were shooting closer to like 32 or 33 early in the year, and yeah. That's not a small bump for this team. Like, we consistently started having games where we shot 40% or better from three, which was a large part of why this team started to come together better, especially Rapp. Like, you got to the point where you have Blackwell, who is consistently shooting well, Carrington, who just the second half of the season has been going off, and Rapp has been going off basically now for a month straight. And I don't think any of those guys are shooting over their head right now. Maybe Carrington a little bit, but I do think he's got a pretty good stroke. I always felt Rapp had a clean form on his jumper. It was just a matter of, it just didn't seem like he was locked in and seeing the rim well. So I always felt like we were kind of underwater with what we were shooting, what our percentages were early. And clearly the team had defensive issues. But it does feel like we're kind of in the place where a lot of us preseason expected us to be. It just didn't, we didn't get here in the way that we expected.
You're at, that's a very well said, man. That's a great way to say it. Like, we did not, at the beginning of January, we were like, oh boy, this is going to be a rough season. And, but in the end, we ended exactly where we thought we would. So yeah, well said there. Just to give you guys know some of the percentages, Brayden Carrington currently shooting 42.8% from three. 42.8% on volume, by the way. And as you said, Justin, and Ryan always says it as well, like, water finds its level. We were underwater before. I don't think Brayden Carrington is probably not a 42% three-point shooter, but that's a great percentage to have going into the tournament. John Blackwell, 37.4%. That's pretty good. That's where he normally is. He had that season over 40, had that season at like 35. This is about good for him. Nick Boyd shooting 35.5%. Austin Brown, 35%. Nolan Winter, 33%. That's pretty solid. Billy Oskar is 31, but he can obviously go off. But I mean, you've got there five guys shooting over 34%. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Billy Oskar is the one guy. The 31% makes sense because, man, some of his misses, they're yeah, just man. Not pretty.
And listen, let me tell you something. Austin Rapp shooting 35%, by the way. Think about that. Think about how low he was early in the season. Like, he's having that. He's, I guess, down everyone at like 30%. Shooting that well. Yeah, everyone's shooting that well right now because all these guys' percentages have come up and they're good percentages now, which means with where they were before to where they are now, like they're going off. I think Carrington's probably at in the 50 percentile easily in the last few games, which is awesome.
KBP or KPB. Rajiv, wish we could see us playing BYU now.
And I listen,
that's not really fair. With Saunders out, it's just not the same team.
True, but even if Saunders played, we were at this game, and Kevin and I were both at this game, and we got smoked. I mean, obviously, you all watched it. It was a disaster. Mm-hmm. We're sitting next to each other like, this sucks.
And our bigs weren't up to the task in that one. No, to be fair, nobody was.
Right. We had a nice steak dinner afterwards, so that was good, me and my boy KPB. But, yeah, like, I mean, I will say Nebraska is a team I want to face right now because I would love to see what we can do against them because we got smoked by that team, which is, you know, that's good. Jeff Olsen says we were calling Rapp a chucker early in the season. Yeah.
I see. He was a chucker because he was missing. There were times where he just – but the point I'm making with that is it never looked bad coming out of his hand. Sometimes it didn't look great when it got to the rim, but he always had good form on his jump shots. It was just sometimes you would look at it and be like, we come down the court, he could catch a ball on the wing, and rather than run the offense for at least, you know, like move the ball around a little bit, he would just put it up. And my issues with him was like, know the situation, and it doesn't need – like if you're coming down on the break and you take that shot, it's one thing. It's another thing completely when you come down and basically just throw it up in the first – 5 seconds you get across midcourt. Like, that's, come on. And to be fair, he settled down a lot with that.
And also, like, and listen, shooters are going to miss. We are obviously coming off a really big high with shooting 52% from the field from the 3-point line at Purdue. But like, that's going to come down. Obviously, we're not going to have that again. But I will say, Austin Rapp, like, this shooting form looks really good, Justin. Like, he actually looks like he's crisp. He's clean. His feet are set. I'm not saying they look bad earlier, but it looks different now. Like, everybody just looks more locked in as far as their shooting form goes, which is a thing that we don't talk about very often, but it matters.
Yeah, and I think these guys are far more confident just overall. We have not seen a game this year, and knocking on wood on this, where a team has really pressed the perimeter on us and made us uncomfortable. I think Boyd is a big part of why that hasn't happened as much. Because for the most part, when teams have really tried to get in his kitchen, he's kind of just gone right by guys. And I think teams are a little afraid to do that. We saw a little bit yesterday where Purdue tried to extend and cut off some of the passes around the top of the key. And you're almost like some of the passes looked a little close to potentially getting a hand on them. Thankfully, we didn't have any turnovers. But I haven't seen it where we've just had a team take it to us defensively on the like rushing the 3-point line.
I mean, Minnesota, I think, played us pretty well defensively. Yeah. You know, they kind of depressed out there. But you're right. Like, if you're going to do that on us and you're going to extend, because the thing is, you really can't, because you've seen what Nolan Winter can do when he, like, Nolan Winter cuts to the basket. Mm-hmm. If he had to step on you, guess what? It's a dunk and you're not stopping it. Well, as Kevin Brown would say, he wouldn't dunk, but it would be 2 points. So, like, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's why you can't necessarily just do that. But you're right. Like, it is going to be frustrating, but that's why having a guy like Nick Boyd is so freaking important, because the dude can get from the 3-point line and shoot and lay up with his left hand in like a split second. So, and the defenses are, they're playing him well. They all know what he's doing. Doesn't matter. You still can't stop it. Still want him to, I thought he went a little bit hard yesterday. He had one floater in the lane. Great. That stop and pop, like little floater. He needs to do more of that. He's very skilled with his left hand, obviously. And he's got nice touch. Utilize it more, because every single person you play against is just running right to that back corner of the backboard, right? Where a left-hander is going to lay it up, and they're swatting right there every time, because they know you're going to be there. Don't be there. But you know, I wanted to ask you, man, like, your highs and lows of the season, not necessarily the wins, obviously Michigan, like the games, but like, what are some things about this season that like, that really stand out to you? For me, I'll go first on this. One of my highs is Braden Carrington's arc of the season, right? Like, I was really happy with Braden Carrington, and I was happy that we got him. I thought he was a guy that just looked to me like a baller, and a guy that needed to play basketball more often, needed to be out there more, wasn't getting the minutes. And I said that many times. And then he became a 3-point specialist. He became a guy that he rebounds hard. He defends hard, makes a few little silly plays here and there with fouls. But man, I've been so happy with Braden Carrington and everything that he's done, because without him, obviously you can say this about a lot of guys, but without him specifically, we would be nowhere near where we are. But what were some of your, like, what's a high of yours for this team?
excuse me. Probably seeing Rapp go off in the second half of the season. Yeah. Seeing his development and him get better. And I think we started talking about that roughly around the time we played Ohio State the first time at the Kohl Center, how he looked pretty good on defense in that game. It was about the time we started saying, oh, he seems to be turning a corner. He did a pretty good job just being in the right spots in that game. Excuse me. I feel like he really got better as the season went on. Carrington obviously was a huge part of why this team has played as well as it has over the last month. But there's multiple guys that we can say that about. I mean, we didn't really have an up and down as much with Blackwell and Boyd. Winter was kind of our biggest stability, I would say, over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's really has to be like the Carrington that. And there's some other guys. Like, I like watching some of the young guys get their feet wet. I like seeing Jones look like he seems to have a better idea of what's going on out of the court.
He's going to be good. Goes on.
Kinzinger going out there and making the occasional play here and there, because I think we all feel like he's got a bright future. So to me, seeing those situations where you have some of the young guys that you're like, hey, next year we're going to need this guy. He's going to have to be in the rotation. And then another thing would be, I would just say the injuries. Like, it stinks that Janicki is hurt. Hopefully he can be back some point this season. But anytime you see a guy have to miss a prolonged period of time, it sucks.
Yeah, the lows, definitely that. I mean, Rapp's been hurt. He has had sickness issues. Obviously the Nolan Winter thing. And of course, Jack Janicki. Like, it does suck. And you don't see it too often in basketball, like as you do in football, of course, with the violence of that sport. But It is a bummer. But yeah, and I will just say another high for me. And I said it before, Greg Gard. I mean, you're doing exactly what you fans want you to do. From my perspective, you brought in good players. You loaded up without a very high NIL budget, by the way. And you put a comment up earlier about we need to give him some NIL money. Like, that's a problem. But instead, you take this group of guys, you gel them together. There were some chemistry issues early in the season with Blackwell Boyd. We've talked about it a lot on this show. And it got better. Now it's really good. These guys are playing fantastic together. If Blackwell just brings it every game, like, you've got yourself absolutely one of the best backcourts in America. And I mean, there's not a lot of backcourts that have this kind of firepower in it. And then you bring in guys like Carrington off the bench that can add to it. It's pretty impressive. So yeah, the whole arc of the season with what Greg Gard did with this group of players, getting them to play their best basketball at the end of the season, is one of my big highs. And it's something that I'm not going to forget, even if things don't go well in March.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and just going back to the NIL thing, mm-hmm. what I want to see is I don't want to see have to see Guard choose between a quality transfer over a high school kid, especially in this cycle. Because I do think there are in-state kids that potentially could offer some probably real minutes next year already. A guy like Jaylen Brown, who potentially, if you bring in, has an opportunity to provide some backcourt play. You have Davis, obviously. Donovan Davis is another guy that they've been chasing after. And some of these guys, I always feel like those are the guys, like your high school classes to me are always your culture. They're your guys who are kind of the central nervous system of your team. And you want to bring in nice pieces to supplement that, like Nick Boyd coming into this. Obviously, he's a pretty good leader, but ideally you want to have a cohesive unit that you're building onto. And I feel like that, and it's the same thing with football. I feel the same thing with that because there's always somewhat a level of mercenary associated with transfers. They didn't get the time where they really were super excited about going to your school, where they were getting recruited for 2 years and are all bought in. Like, they're making a business decision most of the time when they're coming in. And so you want to have those guys who are locked in and ready to do it. I think you need to give him the money to supplement this roster from the transfer portal. But I also think I don't want him to have to choose and not be able to give some money to some really high quality in-state kids if he has the opportunity to get done. In other words, what I'm saying, unless it's Duke and it's like a $2 million payday, I don't want to hear that he's losing money or not getting a kid from in-state if he's a four-star and a really high-end player because it's less than $1 million. Like, that to me is like, that's somebody that you may be able to look at for 3 years on this roster that could be a really good player. And it feels short-sighted to me to lose out on those guys.
I mean, yeah, like, we were never going to get Con Knuppel.
Yeah, they would have just kept it would have just the bidding would have just kept going up. Yeah. And now it's, I mean, it's been proven. Look what the guy's doing in the NBA. Like,
look, this guy, yeah, I mean, he's big surprise there. You're right. Like, we do need to invest, and I think that's going to be a big talking point, a big storyline we're going to cover this summer, because obviously we did it a lot in football. We know now that we are in that top third of spend in NIL money, at least going into next year. So, like, if there is money to give, you got to give it to Greg Gard too, because he's proven he's found gems. I mean, AJ Store, John Tanjay, Nick Boyd, Braden Carrington, like, there have been gems that are coming through for Greg Gard. Got to give him credit. One comment here before we move on. I wanted to put this up. Badger Bournemouth fan, team improved as the year went on instead of dropping off, which is one of his highs, clearly. Justin, you and I have talked a lot on this show over the years about how the February like slide, and you've got animated many times on this show talking about how this team is not getting better. That's not the case this year.
That to me was my biggest criticism of Gard. His team seemed to consistently tail off in the second half of the season, which led to a lot of why we ended up having early exits in the NCAA tournament to me. Like, it seemed like teams were just not playing their best basketball, or they would have like a great run in the Big Ten tournament. And we never really had a ton of depth. So you just played a ton of games on short rest. And now you're going into the NCAA tournament, probably an exhausted team that we already felt was kind of like on fumes, and then just got it together for that Big Ten tournament run. And it's like, well, now you don't really have the juice for this. And you have a team that wants, like, anywhere, if you're like a top six seed, that other team is coming in with a chip on their shoulder. They want to get that upset. And if you're not locked in and ready to play to handle your business, or you're just beat up and tired, you're probably going to have an opportunity where you're going to lose that. And a lot of those teams are good teams. Like, you face an 11 or 12 seed, they might be a team that's like 30-3 in a smaller conference and was really good. They just don't have the resume necessarily that you can look at and say, well, they played a bunch of power four teams to brace that rating with them. So you don't know. They're more of an unknown.
Yeah. I did want to put a count up here. Matt Van Grinsen asks, are we Rajiv top third of spending? So there was a report that came out that we were number four in transfer portal spend. So which is a very impressive statistic when you have, and I think it was obviously Indiana, Ohio State. There were a couple other ones up there, but yeah, I mean, we were definitely in that upper echelon for sure.
I saw an article come out on this that was from one of the, I think On3 put it out there or something like that. And it was a biggest surprises from the transfer portal. And one of them was the spend from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like we were very surprising there. People were shocked that we were getting talked about, like, give us an opportunity. You know, we can match or whatever when it came to deals and stuff like that. And I think that, yeah, they backed it up.
Oh, we've been calling for it. Yeah. I mean, we've been calling for it. And listen, I mean, he had to do something to appease the boos and the Fire Fickle chant. So kudos to McIntosh if that's what they did. Let's see how it turns out. All right, let's move on to bracketology. We're going to start with the Big Ten tournament. Here is the official bracket for the Big Ten tournament. We are the 5 seed, finished 5th in the conference, of course. So we have double bye, right? So we don't have to play in that first round or the second round. We got the double bye, not the triple, because Illinois did barely, but they did beat Maryland today. So we play the winners of Washington and USC. No impact on the first round. They got one bye. So we'll play the winner there. We will play that. And then if we win, we will play Illinois in the Big Ten tournament. And then we're on Michigan's side of that because we're on the 1-4 side. Like I said, it'd be great to see Nebraska, but that would be in the championship. We could face Michigan again, of course, if we get by Illinois. We've talked about this a lot, Justin, just kind of in general and how we're not huge fans of this. Kevin Brown says, let's get out of the Big Ten tourney as soon as possible. It's a waste of time and energy. A lot of comments in here about just win one and done. For me, and I want your thoughts on this, for me, got to be Washington or USC, okay? And we're going to talk about that when we get past this Big Ten tournament. I'm going to tell you about USC and how that was really a killer for us. Like that, we have to do that, because if you lose to Washington or USC, teams you can definitely beat, and especially USC now has lost their best player.
I was going to say, I expect to see Washington.
I think Washington's going to beat them, but we already crushed Washington. So, like, you can't lose that, because then the committee's like, ooh, maybe we dropped them a line, or maybe we're in this. Like, you don't want to leave the committee with anything negative, and you're not going to leave them with anything negative if you lose to Illinois. That's nothing wrong with losing to Illinois. You got to beat Washington or USC. That is the only thing that I want out of this. To me, after you get by that first game, it's all gravy. I don't care what happens. Stay healthy. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think that the way I look at it is you beat Washington or USC, whoever you play, you get the next game against Illinois. And you go out and you play your game, but don't try to kill yourself to win the game. And if you lose, so be it. If you find a way to win it, fine. But I think it's in our best interest to not overextend ourselves and kill ourselves trying to win it, because I don't think the value is there for us to do it. Now, they could go on a run and win the Big Ten tournament. Would I rather have that than them having a run in the NCAA tournament? Absolutely not. I think we're to the point where this is a team that if it's fresh, they legitimately, if they can get to the Sweet 16, I'm not afraid of them going up against anybody. And I don't mean that to say we're going to win. I mean that to say we shouldn't be overmatched to the point where we can't, if we play our game and play well, that we can't beat the other team.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I mean, I think that, like, I don't really care, because look, we've known that this team has taken a couple steps forward and one step back. Their step backs are very clear. USC, Ohio State on the road, Oregon on the road. We've had those games, but we've taken ridiculously large steps forward, right? This past week, I mean, after we lose to Oregon, we get Washington, we beat Maryland, and we beat Purdue. That was a great step forward. Go ahead and take your step back in the Big Ten tournament. I don't care. Even if that means if we lose our first game, I'm not saying I'm happy about that, but I'm not that bothered by it. Just stay healthy. I do not want to see Nolan Winter play that first game. Put him on the bench, let him rest. Because again, I've had a lot of ankle injuries myself. You just need the rest. You got to elevate that. You got to let him go. There's no reason to push him. This tournament does not matter. We cannot go into the first round of the NCAA tournament with Nolan Winter hobbled because we played him in the Big Ten tournament. There's no need for that at all. So do that. But yeah, overall, not really bothered by it. Just win that first game. I also just don't want to, I would hope that we're past some of those steps back now. Greggard talks about this team's getting better, this team's gelling. Well, let's see it, right? show it now in this tournament. Like, just go out there and play a solid game. I want to see Bilyaskis and Rat play better. I don't want to have a big regression game. And what I don't want to see is one of these John Blackwell games where he doesn't even exist for the first half. That I don't want. You've got to push forward now, because that's going to give Badger fans confidence that we can actually do it come, you know, come the real tournament.
Yeah, I'll take it a step further. I think you can get away with not playing Winter even in the first NCAA tournament game.
And
I don't love it, but if he's like, if you want to steal an extra day of rest from him, I think you can get by with the other guys, bar playing a power four team. Like, if you're playing a power four team for whatever reason in the first round, then I think you need to take it seriously and you probably need him. But I think if you're playing some type of mid-major team or something like that, the odds of you playing against a dominant front court player are pretty low. And I think the guys can stack up well enough that we should be okay. That's not saying I want it to happen. That's not saying if it has to happen, I think we can live, we can survive it.
Yeah.
But I think when you get to the round of 32, you're probably going to need them.
Oh, you're definitely going to need them, because we're going to be playing a top four seed when we get to the round of 32. So we're definitely going to need that. All right. So let's talk about the NCAA tournament. As the last few weeks have I've done, I'm going to pull up the net rankings, and I want to talk about a few things here while we look at these net rankings. So first of all, it will change tomorrow. Iowa did lose today. So I can't see any reason whatsoever that Iowa's ranked ahead of us in the net. This is all nonsense. Look, they have 4 quad one wins. They've also got a quad two and a quad three loss. So Wisconsin 26th currently in the net, which is really good. We're up from 31st before the Purdue game. We were down in the 50s at 1.2 in this season. We have 8 quad one wins. Let me tell you this. Let me give you this stat, man. So last week on the show, if you were with me, I said that we had 15 teams. There were 15 teams that were ahead of us that had more quad one victories than the Badgers. You know what that number is today? It's 5. There are 5 teams in the country that have more quad one wins. Those are Duke, Arizona, Michigan, Florida, and Michigan State. That's it. Purdue, Texas Tech, all those schools all have 8 quad one victories. 5 teams in the country. And of those quad one victories, no one has the wins at Michigan, at Illinois, at Purdue that we do. Now, what's the reason I highlighted Minnesota and South and USC on this form, if you're watching on YouTube, is Minnesota did sneak back in to 73rd in the net, which means they count as a quad one. That's why we have 8. So because Minnesota still counts for us. USC, that loss to USC is our only quad three loss. It is our worst loss of the year. I know people think the Oregon loss was our worst loss. That was on the road. And they are ranked 102nd in the net. Road teams up to 135 only give you a quad two loss. So that USC loss, by the way, it's at 76. So if for some reason USC was 75th instead of 76th, that would only be a quad two. So that bad loss, that quad three loss, is a statistic that they look at. A quad three and four loss matters. And it's a kind of a bummer that we have one of those. But overall, I mean, really, really good here. I feel like Justin, this screams 6 seed to me, but I think because the net ranking has us at like a 7, if you look at technically 26, right? But with those wins that we have, the number of quad one wins, I think we're easily on the 6th line, and it's not close.
I don't get the net rating having us like it's. Why is it so poor for us? If it's not taking into account our victories, it's not like we have a bunch of bad losses. Like yes, the USC loss isn't great.
It's one. Like a lot of teams, so most teams above us don't have a quad three loss. Okay. That does matter. Now, Iowa does, which is why I think we'll be ahead of Iowa tomorrow, by the way. But that is the difference, right? Like quad three losses kill you. But also the other thing is the non-con, we didn't get a good win in the non-con. We know this. Like we went through Villanova was a good neutral opportunity. We didn't get those. And that hurt us because we got them all in the Big Ten, but we didn't get them in the non-con, which also is something that can help your resume.
That to me is flawed then in a way, because it's widely considered that Wisconsin has like 3 of the top 20 wins in the college basketball season. Yes. And for that to be like for us to get dinged for the fact that we didn't have a big non-con win, it's like, well, who gives a crap as long as you had good wins on your resume? Like, unless you don't believe in the Big Ten, which I feel like they pretty much proved themselves.
No, they do. I think it's just more that like we kind of started out at a disadvantage from where we were, you know, like any ranking system. Like if you're down here, you got to climb your way back up. Had we got one of those big wins, like 7 quad one losses, that is something to say. Now I know the quad one losses are not bad, but we still had a lot of them. And yeah, when you look at the teams like Purdue and you look at teams like, you know, Illinois, there's no reason we should not be up there. Illinois is still ranked ridiculously high in the conference. They're ranked 5th. So, I mean, in the net, we beat them. So yeah, I agree. I think we should be a little higher here, but I'm not really arguing that we need to be like a 5 or a 4 seed. I think I'm fine where we are. I think 6 is very, very good. I mean, at the end of the day, we still lost plenty of games that we didn't need to lose. We had those mental breakdowns, like that 30-point loss to BYU, that 30-point loss to Nebraska, that factors into the committee as well.
What I will say from Minnesota Bucky here, what's the highest seed we could get if we win the Big Ten tournament? Honestly, it's going to be the
5.
Advantage is negligible. We get to a 5. And I think we get that probably if we win our first round game, we have a pretty good shot at that, depending on what happens with the other teams that are kind of in that area. If somebody has a bad loss that's on the 5 line, we have a pretty good chance of just based off a resume of replacing them. But yeah, we don't need to get that far in order for us to get the bump to a 5. Like if we beat Illinois, I would be shocked if we're not a 5 seed.
Yeah. I mean, So first of all, tomorrow we're likely 24 or 25 in the net. So that puts us like squarely on the 6th line, maybe potentially. I think we could, you're right. Because ultimately we don't know what the committee is going to value. Those wins matter a lot. Now they use, this is literally called the NCAA evaluation tool. Like this is the number one tool that they use. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been putting up on the screen every week, because this is always a Bible of what they look at. And so yeah, it's very possible. And I will say, I go back to that. 5 teams have more quad one wins than we do. Now there are several teams that have 8. There's about seven or eight teams that are matching us with 8 wins. But that's still, now you're talking top, 12, 13, as far as most good wins. That matters. So it's possible. We could be very surprised and they could have us at the 5 line already. And their heads are like, yeah, they're a 5 seed, which would not surprise me one bit.
Yeah, I think realistically, if you're looking at it, what the net rating will give you kind of a ballpark of where they're going to start to evaluate you in, like the realm.
And they trim it.
We could very well be the top 6 seed. I also wouldn't be shocked if they look at us and say, well, some of these 5s aren't incredibly strong, despite what the net is telling us. And maybe Wisconsin has a better resume and you could slide into the 5. I don't see us getting further than that. Like if we make it to a 5, we're going to be on the ass end of the 5s. We'll be the 3rd or the 4th 5 seed. And that's fine. I don't know. So what I will say is the way this is set up this time, if we're the number 1 6 seed, that's more advantageous to us because we get to pick the bracket that we're in.
They don't really do it like that.
That's how they changed it this time. The number 1 gets to choose which region.
They don't get to choose anything. I'm
pretty sure they do. I think that's new this year.
If it's new,
the 1 seed gets to choose where they want to be.
If it's new, it's news to me, and I feel like I should know this, but I will definitely research this because I
could have sworn I heard this on one of the post game shows where they were talking about the.
I mean, they give them preferential placement. I don't think they get to choose. They're not calling you like, where do you want to go
now? I'm almost positive that that's what they said.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Question from Shaden. Are we ranked tomorrow? Yeah, I think we're ranked tomorrow. We beat the number 15 team in the country and the number 10 net team in the country on the road. Yeah, we're going
to
be ranked. I can
see us being like 20, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe. Like, yeah, potentially. Who knows?
We have enough big wins. I could see them looking at it. Like, we could end up being ranked higher than our net rating is going
to
be.
Yeah. But before we move on to football, just a reminder, March Madness special next Sunday, 8 p.m. Central Time. We'll be doing a full March Madness breakdown. We'll show all the brackets. I'm going to have all the graphics up and all that kind of jazz. But yeah, a great season, and so much more to talk about, of course, as time goes on with this basketball team. But let's move on to football. We're about they're in OTAs now, should about 10 days away from spring practice starting. So we're going to be doing a lot of stuff on spring practice concurrently with the NCAA tournament, of course, and then moving forward as we go away from basketball. But recruiting, was a big, big thing this week. Isaac Miller from Waukesha, Wisconsin, 6'5", 250-pound edge rusher, has committed to Wisconsin. And I'm going to give you a quick rundown of this class. Really, it's only four people right now, and then we're going to talk about this a little bit. So we have Coors Loken, who's our tight end from Iola, Wisconsin. Isaac Miller, I just mentioned. Dustin Roach is a 6'3", 180 safety out of Waukesha, Wisconsin, same high school as Isaac Miller. And Verona's Ethan McIntosh, that was our first offensive lineman of the group. All of them are, Coors Loken's a four-star, everyone else is a three. And then, of course, there's all our talk. But one thing you notice right away, Justin, is that every single one of these guys is from Wisconsin. This was a big talking point at the beginning of Luke Fickell's tenure, you know, him being able to, wanting to get that state, but unable to really lock it down. You feel like maybe he's reached a point here where you're comfortable with how he's locking down the state.
Yeah, I actually feel like this is beyond just even for the recruiting standpoint. It feels like us getting Isaac Miller was some positive luck for Luke Fickell, which is something we have not seen a lot of. And I feel like have we had a little bit of karma come in our way in a positive direction that is working in our favor? That to me is a big deal for this, because as we've seen over the last, like, virtually everything that could go wrong with this program over the last 4 or 5 years has gone wrong. They very much so deserve the opportunity to get things together and move forward. And you and I kind of talked, I don't know what Isaac Miller is going to be as a player here, but the fact that he was somebody who we weren't expected to get early on in the process and that we were able to lock him down is a big deal for Wisconsin. And honestly, this could be the best in-state class since, I believe, the Chikwe Obashi class, I think, that we had back in like 2016 or something like that. Or the Braylon Allen class, where they had a bunch of guys from in-state. So honestly, to me, this team needs all the positive luck they can have. I think that we're headed in a positive direction, hopefully, with this. And if that's the case, that would be great. We would love to see this team have a season that's actually better than what we're expecting for once, given the fact that it's been poorer than what we've expected for the last 4 or 5 years. So if this fan base is badly in need of some positive, you know, news and level of play this season. And I feel like we kind of got our feet wet a little bit last season, even with the Washington game and, you know, winning those other late season, the Illinois game. Like, those are a big deal for this team to hopefully get things going with the younger players from a leadership standpoint and understanding what needs the level of play and who can take over with guys like Posa and Catalano to lead this team going forward.
Yeah, I agree completely as far as like being a nice win for the in-state. Isaac Miller is a good get. I don't love the film. Just like, it's fine. It's okay. Like, it doesn't jump off the page at me. I'm not saying he's not going to be good, because he obviously could be very good, but the speed doesn't jump off the page. But your overall point of getting the state locked down is so critical, because look at the number of times on this show, people have commented saying like, we need to lock down the state. We got to lock down the state. You go get the best players wherever they are, but it is important that the best players in your state don't leave your state when you are the only D1 program in your state in football. And it is important that we get those guys. Like, Ryan is still pissed off that we lost Ryan Sexton, right? Even back in the day. Like, that's just, there's guys.
Stepped foot on the field?
I don't know. I feel like
Ryan's complaining about that when he's never actually played.
It's important for us to get our state locked in. And this is a good start, because you're right. It sends a message to all the other players in Wisconsin. They're like juniors, sophomores, even, that are like thinking about their recruitment. Yeah, let's go to Wisconsin. Let's go to Madison. Fickell's turning around this program. And whether or not you believe that Fickell could turn around this program, if he's getting the better players from our state, like the Coors Loken one, I mean, that just proves that he's building the culture in the right direction. It doesn't mean that it's going to work, but I feel like it does push things in the right way, which to me matters a lot. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it so far.
Yeah, I think to me, the important part is it's not just that he's locking down the state. It's that this is one of the better years from a talent standpoint that the state of Wisconsin has had recently. And he's doing work in this cycle. Kingston Allen right now has a crystal ball to Wisconsin. You have, well, we talked about it before coming onto the show. Jack Sorge has one. And he just decommitted from Louisville. That's a pretty, there's some smoke there, people. And if you're not paying attention,
I mean, there's clearly that, smoke. There's a crystal ball and
he's going to come play where his dad played. Just a heads up. But you have both the Malinger boys. You have Cole Ryder. That's a big deal for this, for them to get that. Like, you're virtually locking down your entire offensive line class just in state. And that's a huge deal for this, like, you could legitimately have 4 4 stars out of the state of Wisconsin this year. And that would be a big deal for a jump start to this class, because that sets you up for the rest of the cycle to potentially put together a really strong class overall. When you have some of the positions like offensive line, we always view as one of the areas that's super important, but also getting a running back that's well thought of. If they get obviously you get a guy like Sorge, who is a well thought of quarterback. I believe he's a almost 92 composite. This class is just being built in a way that we haven't seen the last couple of years, where we've really struggled. And I think there's an opportunity here for them to have a better than expected class coming into the cycle. We could get back into the top 30 again, which would be really, really good for Wisconsin, especially if they show it on the field.
Jim Sorge was a quarterback when I was at Wisconsin, and it was awesome. I loved Jim Sorge. I remember I also was delusional, and I thought, oh man, this guy, when he was a freshman, I was like, oh, he's going to win the Heisman by the time he's a senior. I literally said that, and it's a horrible take, but he was really good and he was underrated. Well,
he
by a lot of
choked out.
He did. No, I love Jim Sorge, and it would be great to have his son, Jack Sorge. And yes, it's obviously like it's smoke. There's a lot of smoke there. Like, he decommitted. He's got a crystal ball, like, or a falling bomb or whatever, whichever one he has. Like, it's big. He's coming to Wisconsin seemingly. And to have that 27 class quarterback right there, in addition to the guys we already have, it's a hell of a start for him, for sure, man. I mean, there's a lot to be said there. And you're right about the Malinger guys. Like, there are good players in this state. And I think that's what even the comments are saying. Like, the talent in the state in this class is there, which means they have to be in Madison. We can't let these guys go. And I think he is actually doing that. A couple of things in the comments there about the picking of the seed stuff. No one gets to pick their location. Okay, so there is that. The number one overall seed might get to pick their one spot, their region, but that's it. Everyone gets preferential treatment, especially nothing further down. So there's no selection of anything. The committee does all that, just to clear that up. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just but going back to Sorge, I just think that, like, I'm very, very happy that it's not just about Sorge and the talent. It's also that, like, Wisconsin pull, that Wisconsin legacy. Like, if Sorge played here, yes, he committed to Louisville, but if he comes back to play here, we've talked a lot about Fickell and the alumni of this school. Mm-hmm. And there's been a little bit of alienation, for lack of a better word, about some of those guys. This might be a step in that right direction. I'm not saying it's everything, but it does matter when Badgers send their kids to Wisconsin. And I think that it's about that culture building. And I do think he cares about it. Fickell does. I do think he understands the value of needing to do this and having those alumni all on your side. This is one of those steps in that direction, which I think is important.
Yeah. On that topic, I'm really curious, because we've heard things from both angles on that he doesn't get enough, alumni involved, that he does a great job doing it. Who knows? I mean, with how much alumni we know is out there for Wisconsin, it could be just individual people that are pissed off that they're not being glad handed the way they want to.
Right.
Think about it this way. Every year there's a roster of 100 plus guys that are on this team, and every year 30 to 40 of them shift off. So you have hundreds of guys out there that they have to keep track of and talk to. And yes, some of them are big NFL players, but they also have schedules and everything that they need to work with some of that stuff. Now, if they're complaining about not being able to get onto a field to watch a practice or something like that, that's a problem. Like, you need to be making sure that that stuff happens. If you're getting pissed off because you were not one of the people that got a gearbox or whatever, grow up. Like, it's whatever. Like, ask. I'm sure they'll send you something. But to me, it's kind of ridiculous if it's just having your ego stroked or whatever. Get over it. Either you care about the school or you don't.
It could very well be it's just the vocal minority that it's speak out about this. I think it's right. Like, it's just kind of like those, you're right. All those people that don't necessarily talk about it are the people that are getting treated well and all that stuff. So that being said, we'll close the show there again. March Madness special next week. Go check that out. 8 p.m. We'll be live. We're going to have some special guests join us as well. Justin, final thoughts before we close the show today.
We're getting very close to spring football, which I badly need because I need to start seeing my practice reports. I think we just want to see everyone get healthy out of the Big Ten tournament. Let's get a first round win. Let's play our butts off against Illinois and then call it a day, hopefully, and then go into this tournament ready to breathe fire. And I think we're in a really good place going into this because it's Boyd's last run. So you get a guy who's going to be ultra driven to make sure he goes out on a high note with this. And I think some of the other guys, that could be the case too. Who knows what happens with Blackwell or Winter or whatever. Like, I don't necessarily saying that they're looking at leaving or going or anywhere else, but you never know with a roster like this and with the transfer portal and the way things are. There are guys that I'm sure have made decisions on what's going to happen at the end of the season. Hopefully they go out there and play their butts off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited for March Madness. I really can't wait for it. One of my favorite parts of the year. I absolutely love it. I get all excited on Selection Sunday. I the same thing every Selection Sunday, which is Totino's Pizza Rolls, by the way. Absolutely love it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Reminder about that. Rajiv's Corner will be back again this week. We're going to talk more about March Madness. And also, if you're still listening, hit that like button. It's really helpful to the algorithm of YouTube. So hit that button. We appreciate that very much. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.